Greetings of love in Jesus' name this evening. It's a blessing to be here again. Enjoyed the singing and also the devotional that we've heard. The thoughts about that oil, that God would have us to spill out to, and you know, someone has said that our Christian experience needs to be like a well, like an artesian well. It's a little bit like this. If a well never, or a spring, doesn't flow, it can't be filled. And there's something about that flowing. And we sing that song sometimes, Channels Only. We're channels by which water can flow in and flow out. And whenever we allow that water to flow through us, when we receive it from God and then allow it to flow into the others' lives, that's a good thing. But if we decide we're going to accumulate it for ourselves, we're just going to keep it here, very quickly we find that there's little blessing, there's little satisfaction. We find that the joy of the Lord just kind of vanishes. But whenever we allow the blessings that God gives to us, the words of direction, or how should I say it, the words of encouragement or whatever, and I'm willing to share, it makes a big difference in our Christian experience. I'm not sure, but this evening I was thinking about a song that I don't know if we have in our books here, and I don't think we do. How many of you know that song, Shepherd of Tender Youth, guiding in love and truth through devious ways, Christ our triumphant King, we come thy name to sing, hither our children bring to shout thy praise. Let's just try to sing that verse this evening, because tonight I was going to say it last night, failed to, but tonight I do plan to preach to the youth. So let's just sing that first verse of Shepherd of Tender Youth.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth through devious ways, Christ our triumphant King, we come thy name to sing. Hither our children bring to shout thy praise.
So I greet you in the name of the Shepherd of Tender Youth. In our generation, as in any other time in history, our children and our youth are our greatest resource, most valuable resource. It's something that we tend to forget. Most of us have some concept of what value is. In business, that's what it's all about. What is the value of my time versus the value of my expenses? When you go to buy groceries or buy clothes, my wife was doing some shopping today and she was wanting to consult with me about the price of a certain item just to know if the value and the need is worth the dollars they're asking for it. And as men, we were pretty programmed to think that way. The value of what something is, and then we think about purchasing something, we think about investing in something, but at the end of the day, we can take any amount of possessions, any amount of stuff, any amount of vehicles and equipment, any amount of household furnishings, any amount of kitchenware or appliances. We can take any amount of that and put it on one pile. And we could just ask for one child to come and stand right here. And embodied in that child is more value than the entire world. And sometimes we tend to get that mixed up. Sometimes we get the idea that the more stuff, the more vehicles, the more stuff, the more valuable we are. But embodied in one child, in one sinner friend, embodied in one person, is more value than the entire world. So how much value do we have sitting right here tonight? If you were to take the value of your relatives, the dear loved ones who you call your extended family, how much value is that? It's beyond calculation for sure. Because if Jesus says that one soul is worth more than the whole world, then how much is it? I don't know. And that's why God puts such a high priority on people. And blessed is that person who invests their lives in people. So I repeat that our children and our youth are our most valuable resource because they are what God has given some of us. And if you're a parent, if you are a school teacher, if you are even an employer, if you work with people, you're working with the most valuable stuff in God's creation. So let's not forget that. As parents, we do well to recognize the value of children and youth and try to, by the grace of God, do all we can to guide them and encourage them in the ways of the Lord. The world and the powers of evil also clamor for the attention of our children and especially our youth and offer a long list of pleasures and things that they say that youth have to have and have to get involved with to really go with the flow of society. And I don't need to enumerate, I'm not here to talk about that stuff tonight. It will be implied somewhat in what we share later on. But our world is geared toward the youth market. The fashions, the fads, the worldliness, the entertainment is geared toward a youth market. And you find that I don't see it as much in society with men, but the world has designed that women maintain youthfulness as long as possible. We used to go to sing at a retirement home. There was a man that had very, very white hair who was in charge of the activities of that establishment. And his wife was quite old and the face did not deny her age, but her hair was as black as black. And I just always am amazed at that. Something about keeping that youthful look, and the world has plenty of ways to make that possible. And As time degenerates and morals degenerate, anything appealing to the eyes and all of those evil things only will get worse. And so our world is geared to pleasures and evil and cosmetics and a whole whack of things that are for the youth market. And if they get our youth, they eventually in some way can get closer to those of us who are older. Godly grandparents, church family, and pastors also anxiously watch to see how things are going for youth and pray that they may wholeheartedly follow Jesus in light of the pressures that they face from the evil one, in light of the temptations they face. Grandparents watch. Men of God watch, women of God watch, grandmothers watch. How's it going for this young person or for that one? Because the devil is out to get him. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he doesn't care how it happens. It's serious business. As a father of four teenagers right now, and with a younger child in our own family, many thoughts go through my mind about this subject. In addition to that, as a pastor observing youth in the congregation and those of our larger church body and attending Bible school sometimes and visiting around in different church settings, I spend a lot of time thinking about how it is going for our young people. I often ask myself, and I don't know if parents here think this thought or not, but King David asked a question about his son Absalom one day. Is the young man, Absalom, safe? And I just paraphrased that just slightly. Is the young lady, and put the name in there, is she safe? Is the young man, and put your son's name in there, is it safe? How is it going with the young man? How is it going with the young lady? And the Jesus wants the service and the loyalty of our youth, but the devil does too. Throughout my short life, I have observed many youth go right and follow Jesus faithfully. At the same time, I have seen many struggle and weigh decisions and eventually decide to go wrong. And sometimes it seems hopeless to ever change them. And I must also say, some youth that I've observed, in honest to goodness terms, I doubt really ever had a chance. Because of some of the kinds of things that we talked about earlier this week, because of angry home life, or because of tempestuous church life. And they hang in the balance. They see maybe older siblings that made wrong choices, and they hang in the balance, and you just wonder, which way is this thing going to tip? And you watch them, and I was very close to several of those type of situations, and sometimes they even are so frustrated and don't know what to do when they feel the pull of the world on one hand and the pull of God on the other, and they just hang in that balance, and which way is it going to go? And then some young people in our world, I don't know what chance they have. And it's so sad. We tend to have this idea that, yeah, we were just glad we weren't brought up the way so-and-so was. We tend to have that feeling within us sometimes. Maybe you never did. But it seems like, and yet if I would have been born on the 10th story of some apartment building and was brought up with TV and video games from the time I could barely have any mobility with my fingers or whatever, and my mom and dad would have been divorced and remarried or live in friendships like exist in our world, what chance would I have had? And were it not for the grace of God, we could all have been there. And so it is not, in some ways, it's hardly to our credit that we chose the way we chose when we chose it. But even in the best of situations, young people still go wrong sometimes. And this is the burden of my heart tonight. Having said all of this, I have a love for youth. And I want to see them succeed and do well in the kingdom of God. So with this as an introduction, I would like to speak tonight on the title, Some Words of Counsel for Youth. We want to look at some very basic things, but things which can so very quickly make a huge difference in our lives. And this is not only for youth tonight, but I will be quick to add it's for those that are older youth. And somebody told me one time that once you get into the 60s, that's the youth of old age. So if there's anybody in their 60s or above, maybe it can even apply to you in some measure. But I'm speaking to myself because these things are very dear to my heart, because this, like I said, being a father of four teenagers, these things are not small to me. Number one, remember now thy Creator. We read that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I'm sorry, in verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then it goes on to speak about how age adds up, and age adds up, and physical faculties begin to diminish. Eyesight becomes dim. Hearing becomes poor sometimes. The body becomes weak. And after a while, things go downhill to the point where death occurs. And in that journey, every one of us is. We never know what part of that journey we're on. And some of us may never come to the point where life gets so restricted as it does for someone who might be 80 or 90 years old. We have no guarantee how long we are and where we're at in that journey. None of us know. However, it's just taking a general look at the current of mankind. And by the time you're getting close to 50 years old, you realize how short time really is, because you can look back 30 years, and that's just like back when I was 19. When we moved to Costa Rica, that wasn't long ago. And some of you heard me tell the story about something very, very dramatic that happened in my life, and I can remember it almost as if it happened yesterday, but that was 30 years ago. And then I say 49 plus 30, where does that put me? That's 79? Wow, that sounds like a high number already. And no one said we'll get there. And you see how quickly life flies past. And you start thinking about, you start looking at birth dates. I was doing it this week while I was looking through the church calendar that you folks so nicely gave me. And I was looking at that, and I was seeing, now this person here is about this age. And I begin to realize that once you're getting to the age I am, that's getting old. It's getting old. Anyway, I don't want to talk about myself too much. But remember thy Creator. God is Creator. God has a perfect will for your life. God can help you all the way through. Learn to fear God. In verse 13 here, in the end of this chapter, in the end of this book, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And for what reason should we do this? It says in verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I know that you well know the verse, Matthew 6:33. What does it say? It says, but seek ye first. When? Seek ye first. What shall we seek? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it says, all these things shall be added unto you. Remember thy Creator. When? In the days of thy youth. When should we seek the kingdom of God? We should seek it first. And it's good for us to remember to keep God first and let him take the lead in our lives. The earlier in life we begin to serve Christ, the more blessed our life can potentially be if we remain faithful to him. And you know, it is so easy to stray off that course. And I know that in my own life, there have been times when I was farther from God than I should have been. I know that happened numerous times in my experience. And thank be unto God for his mercy. Thanks be to God for his love. Thanks be to God for his correction at times. And maybe some of you know and can look at experiences in your own life whenever maybe it was not as good for you as it should have been. And maybe that's where you are now. Maybe you're just slightly off the track that God wants you to be on. I don't know your hearts tonight. God does. Another word of counsel for youth, and this applies to us all. Give attendance to reading, and then watch and pray. Beyond the whole concept we talked about the other night of biblical repentance, beyond the experience of the new birth, beyond the part of being a vital part of a body of believers, I don't know if I can think of a single thing that is more important to maintaining vital Christianity. Of course, that takes for granted what I just said, the thing of discipleship and Bible obedience, yes. But over and beyond that, I don't know if I can think of a single thing that is more important in the life of the believer than that they have and maintain a very vibrant devotional life. One time, a dear brother, co-pastor, bishop, or whatever you want to call him, co-pastor, I guess I'll call him in this case, there was a certain young fellow. He decided that he's going to get himself a certain car, and in his mind, there was only one brand of vehicle that was worth having, and so he had that, and there was some status pictures showing up, evidently, of this thing sitting in stadiums close to Ferraris and bigger, fancier cars, but this fellow wanted to have it lowered. And there was some stuff coming through and some stories floating around, and the brother felt that it was time to go talk to this young man. And instead of saying, "Sunshine, you looks like your car there. I'm just a little concerned about how it's lowered and the wide, skinny wheels and one of the wide tires, you know, low pro tires." The car was all decked out that way with those neon lights and stuff. It was all decked out with that kind of thing. I don't know all the details. Instead of saying, "You should just watch out a little bit," the brother just took away all the fascade and said, "Young man, I just have a little question for you." He said, "Just tell me, how is your devotional life?" Well, the fellow said, "I don't have any." "What are you talking about?" He said, "I don't." So the brother said, "Do you mean you aren't reading your Bible?" "No, no, no." He said, why would I? I mean, he was a church member, floating along. He said, "And what about your prayer life?" "Well," he said, "that's non-existent. I'm not praying." So the minister said, "You mean that if you were in physical terms, the way you are in spiritual terms, you would be on life support? You'd be laying in a hospital bed with oxygen?" "Yeah, probably." There was no spiritual life there whatsoever. There was no spiritual life there whatsoever by the young man's own testimony. And we can hack around all day long at the branches, but unless we deal with the root. And of course, there was a lot of other issues in the young man's life. I don't know where he is today. It was moral involvements that should never have been, and so on. It's a sad day. But I repeat, there's probably, beyond the basics, beyond baptism and discipleship and those things, to maintain a Christian life, there's probably nothing more important than our devotional life from day to day. And I'm just going to ask us this evening, whether we're youth or whether we're in the youth of old age or anything in between, how is our devotional life? How is it? Have you read the Bible today? Have you talked to God today? How is it, my friends? How is it? A lot is contained in our Bible reading and prayer life. It is very important to guard what you read. Isaiah 34:16 teaches us, "Seek ye out of the book and read." Seek ye out of the book and read. Have we done it? Have we been doing it? If we were to answer that question, how does it look right now? Have we spent any time in prayer? Now, I'm not just talking about thanking God for the meal. That's all good and right. But I'm talking about, have we spent time communing with God? And I'm going to tell you right now that there will be those days when we did not have time to take 10 or so minutes on our knees by our bed or somewhere. There might be that day. I mean, sometimes the alarm clock rings earlier than you anticipated or earlier than you were done sleeping, and you jump out of bed and take off for the activities of the day or whatever it is. And sometimes you might catch yourself somewhere through the day and wonder, "Wow, I went all this time without praying yet." Maybe that never happened to you. It does happen to me sometimes. And what we need to do is in those moments say, "Lord, I'm here. Just be with us today and guide us." And there's probably, that's going to happen sometimes. Please understand that. But have we, like the song says, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? And before you went to bed at night, did you think to read? I know sometimes that schedules are all jumbled up because of circumstances. I know sometimes we don't feel well. Those things I understand, but how is the devotional life? And I encourage us this evening to read a real, real Bible. Read a Bible. It's a blessing that I've had once or twice to have in my hands the Bible of a deceased member and be able to page through that book. And there was a sister who passed away, and she had gotten this Bible from her parents about 13 years of age. And there were a large portion of those pages had marked verses. And to preach her funeral sermon, it was a blessing to just go through there. And she had chosen already a text because she knew she was not well. And she had chosen a text that she wanted us to preach on and so on. But I'm telling you, read a Bible. I was at a congregation some years ago. And please, I don't have anything against if you happen to have the Bible app on your cell phone. But at this congregation, I saw dads sitting there with a cell phone on their knee, and they're there scrolling, and a little child on this other knee, and they're scrolling down through the verses that they're studying in their Sunday school lesson. And I began to think, you know what? Where do you mark a special verse? How does that done whenever we're sitting there with the cell phone on our knee? Now, if you're in the middle of an airport, and yet, then that's the only Bible you have handy, I'm okay with that. I'm not talking against that. But I encourage using the Word. Using a Bible. Maybe if you disagree with me, you can. There's trash cans around. You can drop that idea and you walk out if you don't like it. But I encourage reading a Bible. The Word of God. Read it. Appreciate it. Blessed is he that readeth, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth. Blessed are they that hear. And blessed are they that keep those things which are written therein. For what reason? The time is at hand. I'll read that again with maybe some more correct wording. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in therein, for the time is at hand. Be careful, my friends, tonight, what you spend time reading that is not the Bible. Be careful what you spend time reading that is not the Bible. And there are good books out there, plenty of them, plenty of nice stories and wonderful things to read. But don't spend your time reading stuff that you got to work a while to get back out of your mind. That is a sad thing. Please be careful with what you read. WhatsApps and stuff that comes from unconverted people and so on. Please be careful. We can be tainted with those things so quickly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Is the question given in Psalm 119. What's the answer to that? Wherewithal could we say, wherewithal shall a young lady cleanse her way? An older young lady and the youth of old age, if you please. It all happens the same way. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Digging into the word. There's nothing wrong with getting in your Bible if you have a little bit of time and just reading part of it. Read a Bible story. Read about Elisha or Elijah. Some of them fascinating stories of the Old Testament. Read the New Testament. Read the stories of Jesus' miracles. Read the Bible, my friends. Read it. Jesus told his disciples, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. It is so important to spend time in prayer. Jesus said, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Jesus said another place, take heed, watch and pray, for what reason? That ye, lest ye enter into temptation. And sometimes I wonder if the reason we find temptation so strong sometimes is because we have failed, or I have failed, pointing the finger at myself, I have failed to pray. Because Jesus, even in the Lord's Prayer, teaches us something very, very important. What does he say? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And do you feel that if you're going to go out in the morning someday, or you're going to go into a place where there is things that are less than best, do you think that if you ask God in sincerity to deliver you from temptation, that he's able to do that? Do you know what? He is able to do that. And there's plenty of temptations out there for both sides of the house. There's plenty of temptations out there. But friends, this evening, I just admonish us. I'd encourage us to just simply pray that Lord's Prayer in all sincerity. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. It'll be a happier day when you lay your head on the pillow at night if that was your prayer and you could see how God answered it. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath. The Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. Prayer is the simplest form of speech. I think that song is in our songbooks here, 355, if I have it correct. Maybe I'll just look at it a little bit, and if you care to, you may. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed emotion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Prayer is the contrite sinner's voice returning from his ways, while angels in their songs rejoice and say, behold, he prays. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gate of death. He enters heaven with prayer. And I'm afraid sometimes that there are Christian people out there that profess the name of Jesus, and they're spiritually famished and very, very ill-nourished because they have not been feeding on the Word. And I'm afraid that some of them, and maybe close to us, I don't know, but they have like a clothespin on their nose and duct tape across their mouth, and they're trying to live because they don't want to pray, and they don't pray. And it's like having, like I just said, duct tape across your mouth and a clothespin on your nose, and it's going to be hard to live. It's going to be real hard to live. Because prayer is God's way of having us have contact and communication with him. And a Christian without a prayer life is not going to last real long. Number three, words of counsel for youth. We find in 1 Timothy 5:22 the little phrase, three words, and this is so important: keep thyself pure. In 2 Timothy 2:22 it says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Purity in the lives of youth is so beautiful. It is so beautiful, and yet it is so scarce. Purity in the lives of youth is so beautiful, but so scarce. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Is that your desire tonight? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It is so important that we flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. They're all around us. They're all over the place. And youthful lusts have an appeal to the older as well. That's why we speak even tonight to the youth of old age. Flee youthful lust. The passions and desires of youth are strong, and God has designed a blessed and proper way to give them expression. However, many youth do not accept God's way. This subject over my short life has not been easy in my own experience, and among very close friends and even relatives, I have seen a lot. And some of these stories are very sad. I don't care to go into any details with this right now, but my dear friends, if you ever have watched the emotional trauma that descends upon a person when they realize that some of the things that they have done will never be undone, having to do with this very subject, it is totally devastating. I remember seeing a young lady one day after she had been dating for some period of time and some stuff happened that shouldn't have. And I remember seeing that young lady just broken down and bawling like everything, and there was nothing to do about it. It was hard on me because I loved that person so much. And to see him in that condition was heartrending. It was really hard. And there's a certain song that she chose. One evening there was somebody with just a couple people around doing some singing, and there's some songs that because of that memory in my mind, I can't sing without breaking down hardly. And because it just brings back the memory. And yet God was able to bring beauty out of ashes. God was able to. It's a blessing. But sometimes scars remain. Healing can occur, but sometimes scars remain. For this is God's will, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. And also, I believe, purity would tell us to guard carefully about anything that would lead to fornication and or idolatry or any other type of purity issues that might occur or we might be tempted with. It is God's will that we abstain from some things. It is His will that we have sanctification, we abstain from fornication and such like sins. To conclude this point, I want to read out of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. There's some verses here that teach us something. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth." And we could just as easily say, "Young lady, rejoice, O young lady, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart in the sight of thine eyes." If we were to read it that far, we would say there's pretty much a free rein to do whatever we want to do. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And there it gives a word of counsel now in the last verse of chapter 11. "Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." You believe that tonight? How many older people, maybe now married, maybe down the life's road, as the pressures of life come on, look back with regret on something that happened way back there? Healing can occur, and forgiveness is real. Jesus can cleanse the vilest sinner, the worst of sinners. Jesus can cleanse, but sometimes scars remain. Going on, another word of counsel for youth. Be a testimony by word and by your example. And I'm sure you know this verse very well. 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation." That probably means our lifestyle. In word, in our conversation, our lifestyle. In charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Example. Be that. Please be that. If at all possible, be a testimony by word and by example. This verse probably touches all the areas we're speaking about in this message in some way. But the whole thing of being a testimony is very important. Godly youth in all of us who are saved have the privilege and divine obligation to testify for Christ. However, it is so easy to be quiet and let other people that observe our lives simply draw their own conclusions. It's easy for us just to be, if you speak the Dutch language or German, they say there's a little statement called Die Stille lehrt und lernt. It's very possible for us to be the quiet people of the land and just let people observe our testimony from a distance. Never need to open our mouth to say anything because they'll observe and they'll see. And there is a place, and I understand that, but there's also a time when we need to open our mouth and share what Jesus has done for us. We need to do that. We need to do that. And young people, there is nothing more powerful in my understanding of things than a young person that's serving God from the bottom of his heart and wants to love Jesus and serve Jesus and tell people about Jesus. That's an amazing, amazing power. If Jesus is behind your testimony and Jesus is shining from your face and the joy of the Lord is in your heart in a wicked world, and you go out and you share that good news with somebody else, that is powerful. If an 18 or a 19 or a 25-year-old can get out and share that with somebody who is in need, who is destitute, who is in sin, oh, that's powerful. It's not because of us that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not us. It's God. It's like that oil he was talking about, that little bit of oil, and the problem comes to us and we wonder, how in the world are we getting through this one? And that oil can just flow out. The joy of the Lord, the testimony, can go out. And people can see and hear. And at the end of the day, the Lamb is worthy. Not us. Not us. We just shared what God gave to us. We just passed on. Like Brother Daniel's brother told me just a couple days ago when we were in Belize. He says, all that we do when we share our testimony is one beggar like myself or like you telling another beggar where to find bread, right? If God shared bread with us, we as a beggar can tell someone else where to find it, right? And that just really blessed me. It really did. All right, I want to close this point with 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that, whereas they speak of you as evil, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Be ready always to give an answer to any man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you. With pride? No. With meekness and fear. I'll just give this little illustration. It happened not very long ago. There was a shell, a sportsman's shell, and maybe some of these boys shouldn't have been there, but it was fellows that like hunting and outdoor camping and stuff. It was an event like that, and they were in this place, and somebody said, there's something different about these guys right here. Got to ask them a question. Say, hey, you guys, come over here. He said, I noticed that you got button shirts. You aren't wearing logoed T-shirts and stuff like that. He says, why are you wearing regular shirts with buttoned up shirts? And from that point on, they had a big discussion, a big conversation. It was boys that were young. And they had a chance to share. Why they do it, and the church they go to, and the man was of another religion, and he had a lot of questions. Okay, number 5. Words of counsel for youth. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Thinking on this point, several things came to my mind. You remember when Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Imagine you in the yoke with Jesus, doing the work together with Jesus. We are laborers together with God. Think about that for a moment. Bearing that yoke of Christian discipleship in your youth. It's good for a man, it's good for a young lady to bear that yoke in their youth. I know that not all people have had that opportunity. I know that so well. Some people never know about Jesus until they're way older in life. But it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth, and Jesus' yoke is the best one. Learn to work, and work hard if you're physically capable of it. Learn trades and work skills as men. Young women, learn to do the many things that God brings to your life to do. Learn to do it well. Not everyone's going to be as skilled at the sewing machine. Not everyone's going to be as skilled in kitchen and cooking and baking and things like that. Not everyone's going to have their strong point the same place somebody else has it. But learn to do what you can. Be useful in what you can. Opportunities to teach and opportunities to reach out in Christian service. Learn trades, learn work skills, whatever you can. Learn and be useful. It's something so very, very necessary in society. If you're going to stay single for years, invest your life in. And some of us never know that. I understand so well how that can be. This whole thing of the things that singles face, and I have a lot of dear friends that are single, even older in life, and how, and some of the things that they struggle with, and so on. In any case, it's good to bear the yoke in the youth and learn all we can and try to be a blessing to others. That is such a needful thing. The disciplines of rising early and doing profitable things during a day, whether you're man or woman, whether you're younger or older, those are good things to practice. Remember that idleness is the devil's workshop. And I try to encourage young men, my own boys included, don't go to bed unless you're tired and ready to sleep. Please, it's for your own good. It's for your own good. Learn to study. Go to Bible school if possible. Learn to bear the yoke of Christian discipleship or whatever it is. I will haste on to the next point. Honor your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Is a very common verse, and most of us know it very well. And then it says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. For what reason? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Think you know where that's at? That's out of Ephesians 6. Honor your parents. Honor your parents. Proverbs 30:11 says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Does that sound like a generation we're living in? If you go out into society, you don't have to go very far to hear people just, the old man this and the old woman that, and saying ugly things about the parents that gave them life. Isn't that true? Isn't that the way it is out there sometimes? The command to honor our parents is universal. And there is something that applies to our parents if they are believers or not believers. We are still to honor them. It's an unconditional rule of even the Ten Commandments. And Jesus carries, and the New Testament has it in too. Honor your father and mother. This whole subject has been very dear to me and took on new meaning as we did our adoption process. Our biological parents, regardless of who they are, have given us the gift of life. They have given us some opportunities and actually taught us some things. And some parents have done very poorly, but they still, at the end of the day, want to see their children do well. I was counseling one time with two different young men from the same home that I have some acquaintance with, and these fellows were saying, my dad did this, and my dad did that, and my dad did the next thing, and they were just fussing and crying about stuff that happened. I said, young men, I said, do you realize that your parents gave you even the opportunity to be alive? Do you realize? And these fellas had opportunities. Although it was probably with a lot of mistakes, there was a lot of opportunities right at their fingertips. They learned to do a lot of things, a lot of trades right at their fingertips, and yet they were fussing and fussing and fussing. I said, fellas, please realize. God has been so good to you. Yes, you've had hard times. We know that. I know that. But honor your parents. Do you know what? The circle of honoring our parents. By the time you become parents yourselves, until children have that responsibility / obligation to honor you, that circle comes around awfully quick. It comes around really quick. At the end of the day, whether our parents are Christians or not, they still want to see their children do well in life. And the day may come when they will be as dependent on us as we were on them when we were young. Did you hear what I said? The day could come when our parents, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, whether they were good or bad, in whatever sense that might be, the day could come when they could be as dependent on us as we were on them when we were young. In other words, sometimes children need to take care of their mamas and daddies whenever they're old and not well. Honor your parents. The last point I have this evening, make friends of good people and choose a life companion carefully. The Bible teaches us that a friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for adversity. And that has a application in physical and normal, even childhood friendship. And it has an application in church family friendship. It says a friend loveth at all times. And a brother or a sister is born for adversity. When life isn't going well, what is more comforting in a moment of distress, in a moment of sadness, than to have somebody who loves you come up and say, be of good cheer. God will be with you. God bless you. Let's pray together. Let's get together on this. A friend is born for adversity. And there's multitudes of people that would desire that across our world. Proverb writer also says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Did you ever walk into a Bible school, and or maybe you were a young person, walked into a Bible school, and there's somebody older there, and the first question they ask you is, what's your name? Oh, so you're such and such, or who's your parents? Oh, yes, and then they immediately start making connections. So you're... Why remember? And then they can go on and tell, and you find out these people that you've never met in your entire life were friends of your parents. And immediately makes a connection, doesn't it? The Bible says your own friend and your father's friend, don't forsake them. Don't just put them out of your life. I can do without them people. Because you know what? They might care about you a lot more than you think they do. They might be 25, 30 years your senior, but they still care about you because of who your parents were. Did that ever happen to you? The Bible says, and I repeat, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. That was written by the wisest man. He knew what he was talking about. Then there's another verse that says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord, it says in another place. My one uncle, when he was young, he was a little more progressive, and maybe some people would say more liberal than he should have been in a few areas in life. But one thing that he needed and one thing that he wanted, in spite of his glitches in life, was he wanted, when he looked for a wife, he used this term, he wants wife material. And I'm going to tell you something. He got married in 1981. And I was at his wedding, and he was a lot older than me. But I'm going to tell you something. He did get wife material. Because on that fateful morning, in the beginning about April the 4th in 1996, 15 years after he was married, and because of a couple problems in life, they only were able to have one child. And she at that point in time was about the age of this little young lady sitting on the front bench here. One of them two right there. She was approximately that age. He was on his way to work one morning and going around the corner, and a car came across the center lane and clipped his door and gashed that car open. Behind the front seat was pushed back approximately that far, about 2 feet or 2.5 feet, and he was ejected from that vehicle and whiplashed his back on a guy wire right along the side of the road. Totally not his fault. And when I saw that wife of his stand by his bedside day after day after day after day and taking care of that little daughter that God had given them, I knew that day, and I've known ever since, that he has wife material, okay? Whenever I see her at family gatherings, again and again, reach down behind his motorized wheelchair and lift it up to his mouth so he can get a few more sips of water, I can tell you he married what he called wife material. There's a lot of people in our world that when it gets tough, they're done and they're out of it. But my friends, if you're looking for a wife, look for wife material. There's plenty of girlfriends out there, but look for wife material. And whenever you're looking for a husband, look for husband material too. Godly, godly men. There's plenty of the other kind out there. A little curl in the hair and a little chin in the air, a little handsome looking guy over there, but make sure he's a godly man. It will well be worth the wait. But I realize that marriage doesn't come for all, and God has a lot of service opportunities and kingdom work to do, even if you stay single for all your life. A godly companion is worth waiting for, and certainly worth being faithful to throughout life. Enter into such a decision with prayer and with care and with advice from good people, and you will not be sorry. Whether you marry or stay single in your life, God does have a perfect plan and will for your life, and your greatest fulfillment will be in contentment with whatever he has for you. And you can be a friend to many and also have many friends. Please take these words tonight as from someone who really, really, really cares about young people and older young people and wants to see them go right and avoid the pitfalls of sin and ungodliness. And if any of these points shared tonight can be a blessing to you, may God be praised. Let's stand for closing prayer.